Let us pray together. God of love, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the first Noel, God with us. We thank you for the gift of his life, for what he taught us. And as we read your word and hear it proclaimed today, we pray for attentiveness to your Holy Spirit, that we might hear and respond with the actions of our lives. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture passage for today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 2 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Hear God's word for us today. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time from what he learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went back to the district of Galilee. There Joseph made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this is a cheery story for Christmas. It's a hard story to hear, isn't it? We don't like to focus on death or suffering or even genocide at Christmas. I'd much rather remain in the glow of Christmas Eve, singing Silent Night, seeing the joy on everyone's faces. I'd much rather linger near the manger just a little bit longer. We'd rather avoid this at Christmas, this suffering, this struggle, because it's Jesus' birthday. And at birthdays, you open presents and you sing songs and you're happy. The birth of Jesus is filled with hope, a fresh start. And yet, that's not what the writer of the Gospel of Matthew gives us for Christmas. This challenging passage, while hard to look at and sit with, does provide a fuller and perhaps grown-up picture of Jesus and God at work in the world. The text is brutal. Where we might expect pomp and circumstance, we encounter rejection and violence at the cold hands of Herod. It turns out not everybody was excited to welcome Jesus. Not everyone was thrilled like the shepherds and the angels and the magi to follow the star to Bethlehem. Luke doesn't include this story, but Matthew does, because Matthew's gospel is concerned about who Jesus is as king and what does it mean to be part of the kingdom of God. Matthew's gospel is also concerned about lifting the low up and seeking the lost and the least. So let's take a closer look at this hard passage from the Bible. It opens by saying Herod was threatened. The Magi had come to King Herod looking for another king. Two kings? How can that be? We know from history that Herod was a despot as a ruler. He was paranoid. In fact, so paranoid that he killed his own three sons because he thought they would overthrow him. Herod is feared all around the world, not just in the land of Judea. And so given his reputation, you have to wonder why the Magi even decided to stop there and share this news of another king. They were brave messengers, to be sure. So given Herod's history of violence, it should come as no surprise that when he couldn't find out more about this king, to know exactly who he was, he responds with more violence. You see, his kingdom is threatened, his authority has been challenged, and there cannot possibly be two kings in this land in one kingdom. And so we hear about how King Herod sends his soldiers to massacre the innocent children of Bethlehem. In the face of pure joy and goodness with the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Herod responds with complete and utter evil. He kills all the baby boys, two and under, and scholars think maybe 20 or 30 are slain. If you travel to Bethlehem, there's a monument for the slaughter of the innocents at the church in Bethlehem. There's a place where they lay flowers every year, not just to remember those small children that were killed, but to be mindful of all those that are slain due to injustice in our world. And yet, even in the midst of evil, in the face of suffering, God shows up. In fact, that's exactly where God shows up, when it seems there is no way. And God helps Mary and Joseph to make a way, coming to Joseph in a dream, telling them to flee to Egypt. You will find safety there. You will find a welcome there. And so the Holy Family becomes a family of refugees. The definition of a refugee is someone who is fleeing for their life because of threat of life or persecution. And that's exactly the Holy Family. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph packing up newborn baby Jesus with nothing and walking days, weeks across the Holy Land to Egypt? They have to depend on the kindness of strangers they encounter on that journey. They have to depend on others to give them food, to help them with diapers, to help them with water. And then when they get to Egypt, they have to depend yet again on the kindness of strangers to welcome them into a home where they find safety. They're there for a few years. It's not a quick trip. And so while they're there, they have to make a life in this strange land. They can't go home until Herod dies. And yet, they are warmly welcomed. They are received. They're cared for by those strangers that they encounter. What a sign of hope. What a powerful sign of God's love at work in the world. Our world currently right now is facing one of the largest refugee crises we have ever faced since World War II. The nations are in an uproar all around us, and folks are fleeing their homes because of violence and persecution, trying to find safety, whether it's in Turkey or Thailand or Mexico. Unfortunately, these issues have been politicized. It's complicated who gets in, who gets to find safety. But what's not complicated in the Christmas story is the biblical mandate to welcome the stranger and to care for the least of these. Whether it's a couple with a baby or an older couple traveling and finding safety, modern-day refugees find themselves living in camps, often for decades. They just want to go home and be safe, much like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And yet when they leave, they aren't thinking they'll be somewhere for a long time, much like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. The church I served previously in Dallas, Texas, started a refugee ministry about 8 years ago this time of year. We'd spend a lot of time in study and prayer about how can we love our neighbor, and we learned just 2 miles away was a large refugee community. Dallas is in the Bible Belt, and because of our biblical mandate to welcome the stranger and our affordable housing there, lots of refugees were welcomed into the city. And our church joined all sorts of churches in the area from all different denominations to welcome these refugees. One family came to our church, the Mamasa family. And as I got to know them and learn their story, I learned that they had been on the run from the Democratic Republic of Congo for 15 years. There was a mother, Mateso, or grandmother, and her 4 children, and then her grandchildren. The family totaled 15 in all. And as they made their way from the Congo, eventually to Zambia, they decided to apply for resettlement. They waited for 5 years to be resettled because of the very intense vetting process they went through. And one day, while living in the camp, they found out they were coming to Dallas, Texas. They landed on an airplane, and our church welcomed them within a couple of weeks of their arrival. We learned from the Mamasa family that they had 6 months to pay back their loan. It was a loan to be resettled, and they had to be on their feet. They'd only ever lived in an agricultural country. They didn't know English very well, but they made it. And just 2 years ago, on Christmas Day, the family bought their first home, and I was able to provide a home blessing for them. They'd been living on the run for 15 years, and in 2017, they had a home. What a journey. And just this past fall, one of the youngest grandkids in the family, Majuma, started her freshman year at A&M. She's going to be an Aggie. This family was able to survive because of the grace of God. They've been a Christian family their whole life, and their faith in God's provision and God's care was deeper and more solid than mine will ever be. Because they, like Mary and Joseph in our gospel story from Matthew today, had everything taken from them. All they had to depend on was God. Now, that's not our story. Thank the Lord we're not refugees or fleeing for our lives. We have more than enough. And yet, we have suffering, we have struggles, we have strife. And we have neighbors here in our town, in our backyard, who are in need of welcome, who are in need of love, who are in need of hospitality. And that's our Christmas story. You see, the Christmas story doesn't let us linger in the cozy glow of the manger. The Christmas story calls us out, takes us out into God's world, but not alone. With the love and peace of Christ, with the call of Christ to love our neighbor, whoever they are, wherever they are, because that's the Christmas story. Now, following Jesus out of the manger can lead to some pretty interesting places, some raw and gritty places, not the places you will see on a Christmas card, because following Jesus means we'll struggle with poverty, we'll struggle with hardship, we'll struggle with suffering. But we know this, because we know the birth of Christ will lead from a manger to a cross. We know that the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, following the way of Jesus, takes us to places where there is struggle, where we have to make hard choices, where there is a cost to following Jesus. And that's exactly where we are this morning, because the reality of Christmas today is that there's a tension between the manger and the cross. Every week we pray for peace here in worship, and then we leave this place and we have opportunities to work for peace, for love, for God's justice in our day-to-day lives. Mother Teresa once said, if we have no peace, it's because we forgot that we belong to each other. And that's what our story is about today from the Gospel of Matthew. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus found out that they belonged to the world. The gift of Jesus is that he wasn't just born for a particular people, but for all people. And their journey from Judea all the way to Egypt as refugees allowed them to experience the hospitality and love of the world and shaped the family, causing them to depend solely on God. Jesus came and he disrupted the corruption and the evil of Herod. He overturned the violence and fear with an ethic of love, of justice, of reconciliation. So this Christmas, I invite you to follow Jesus out of the manger. Follow sweet baby Jesus to love those that the rest of the world would have us forget, hate, or ignore. Because there is so much work to do this Christmas. To quote the preacher Howard Thurman, "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, and when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people." Will you follow Jesus with me? I cannot do it alone. But with all y'all, I think we can shine the light of Christ in this dark world. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.